Well, good morning and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet, the time we take to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request today, let us lift you up today. Don't carry that burden alone. We want to pray for you. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And Lord, we do thank you this day that we can come to you and seek you in prayer. We knowing that you are there to hear from us. You are there to encourage us, to help us. Lord, we pray that you would work in the lives of your people today. As they come before you with their needs, with their concerns, with their cares, also with their praises and their celebrations. Lord, that you would receive each one, touching and moving in the lives of your people. That they would experience you in all your fullness and glory. That they would touch you, build you up, strengthen you. Or that you would touch them, build them up, strengthen them, Lord. With your power and your might, that we might walk in your power this day. Not by our power, not by our might, but by your power and by your might, that we might live as your people in this day, to the glory of your name. And we pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And well, we're going to get back into the God's Word in Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 2 today, as we've been looking for through the book of Colossians. And we're up to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul writes this admonition to us. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Paul's admonition here has often been used by some people to look and say, well, see, that's a sign that philosophy is bad. We shouldn't be entering in the world of philosophy. That's not good. Well, but philosophy just means a quest for truth. That's really all it is. Paul is not against philosophy here. In fact, we know that Paul read Greek philosophers. He was familiar with them because when he was on Mars Hill, he was quoting Greek philosophers and Greek poets to the people of Athens. So he's clearly familiar with them, had done some reading in Greek philosophy. I don't know how much, but certainly some. Enough that he could debate with them and hold his own. So Paul's admonition here is not necessarily against philosophy per se, which is the pursuit of truth and understanding of it, but rather specifically this: deceptive and hollow philosophy. Don't be taught captive by deceptive and hollow philosophy. And that is the key here. What makes philosophy deceptive and hollow? Well, he tells us. Deceptive and hollow philosophy is that which depends on human tradition and the principles of this world rather than on Christ. Paul's admonition is not that philosophy is bad, but any philosophy that starts with the basic principles of this world instead of with the truth of God is going to ultimately be deceptive and hollow. Actually, one of the most encouraging movements in higher education, you know, it's easy to look at higher education and say, oh, it's gone crazy. It's all, you know, politically correct nonsense and liberal studies and whatever, and godless stuff. But actually, there's been a huge revival in philosophy departments across the country with Christians who are engaging and becoming philosophers and teaching in philosophy departments. And in fact, one of the most famous, Dallas Willard, passed away a few years ago, but a wonderful Christian man, wrote the great book, The Divine Conspiracy. He was a philosophy professor at USC. Yeah, USC. I don't know why I just said that. I'm apparently going through puberty again. Voice is breaking on me. He was at USC and philosophy professor there for many, many years, but deeply, devoutly Christian man, and used his readings and teachings, understanding of philosophy to apply truth to the Christian life, and taught from clearly and directly from a Christian perspective. So one of the great things that's happened is there are lots of Christian philosophers who spend a lot of time thinking deeply about God and deeply about what that means for us and who God is and how that means we should live in light of that and what it means to be a Christian and what it means to follow Christ and many of the same things that theologians think about, really. There's a lot of overlap in those areas. So a philosophy that begins with the truth of Jesus, a philosophy that begins with the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, is a philosophy that's worth listening to. It's those that begin with the principles of this world. And this is a great word. It's a word we talk about in our church all the time. It's called stoicheia. That's the Greek word for principles. Human traditions and the basic principles are the stoicheia of this world. And that word in the Greek, stoicheia, when you break it down, really, it means, you know, almost elements. is a word they would often use for the letters of the alphabet, right? These are the building blocks of meaning. So these basic principles are the most basic building blocks of meaning in the world. And the world begins with certain elements, certain building blocks of meaning. And that from there, we can construct all kinds of thought and all kinds of philosophies and all kinds of opinions about the world. But Paul's saying, look, if you start with the basic elements of the world, you're never going to get to truth. We need to start with the basic elements of Jesus. All Christian thought begins with Jesus. When we come to faith in Christ, we don't graft Christ into our worldview. We don't receive Christ and accommodate him into what we believe about the world. Everything we believe changes because now we look at everything through the prism of Jesus. That Jesus becomes the source of all meaning. You know, even as we were talking about tattoos there at the end of the morning show, if you were listening, and one of our listeners, Diane, I think, texted in, said, you know, doesn't matter what I think, what does God's word say about tattoos? And she's right, right? I mean, that's really what matters. What does God say about these things? And that's really the attitude that we should have as Christians. You know, it's not what my opinion is, or your opinion, or our thoughts, or your thoughts. What does God say? How do I look at this through the prism of Jesus? And that's how we should approach everything. Our understanding of truth, our understanding of how we live, morality, even issues of should I get a tattoo or not. I look at that through the prism of Christ. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus want me to do? What is his thoughts about this? How do I see this? Through understanding of him. You know, we go to the word and maybe you think of scriptures like, well, you know, whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Okay, well, is this something I can do for the glory of God? What is it? Realize that sometimes those people get to different answers. Some people look at that and say, nope, don't need one. Other people say, yes, I can use this to glorify God. It's not always going to lead us all to the same answers on everything. Although it, you know, if we're looking at everything through the prism of Christ, it's going to lead us to similar answers on pretty much most things. And, you know, it should lead us to the same answers on lots of things because God's word is pretty clear on those things. But we begin with the prism of Jesus. That becomes the starting point. All thought begins there. We don't begin anywhere else. We don't look at Jesus through the prism of the world. We look at the world through the prism of Jesus. And he becomes the foundation for all of our thinking, all of our understanding, that everything we see and do and view, we look at through him. How does this glorify God? How does this honor him? How would Jesus see this? That becomes the ground of our being and thinking. And any philosophy that can help us to do that, that's grounded in that truth, that can be a philosophy that's helpful. But any philosophy that's not, that doesn't begin with the truth of Jesus, is hollow and deceptive, and we don't need it. And there may be some who are, you know, called to the area of apologetics and stuff. We'll study and learn about those things. And I'm not saying it's wrong to learn and study those things. But even as, you know, if you want to read Nietzsche, if you want to read Aristotle, if you want to read Plato, you know, I've read those guys. It's okay to do that. But I'm reading them through the prism of Jesus. I'm evaluating them through the truth of Jesus Christ. How does what they say line up to God's word, God's truth? How does it line up to the reality of Jesus? I'm not letting them instruct me about Jesus. I'm letting Jesus instruct me about them. And that's the attitude we need to take about everything. Let Jesus instruct us about the world. Don't let the world instruct us about Jesus. The world doesn't know. I don't care what the adversaries of the church have to say about Jesus. I care about what Jesus has to say about Jesus and what Jesus has to say about them. So let that be our thought today. Look at everything through the prism of Christ. Let him teach us about the world, not the other way around. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been The Prayer Closet. God bless everybody.